shot by an assailant, fired from his job, audited by the IRS, and caring for a critically ill spouse until her death, positive possibilities could still be found, according to our guest and author today, Rob Pennington. His book is called Find the Upside of the Downtimes. And Dr. Pennington has a PhD from the University of Texas, and he tells his own very personal and honest account of some of the biggest challenges life can throw at anyone. He was shot in the chest by an unknown assailant, divorced, fired, remarried, and was the caregiver for his second wife for 30 years until she passed away in his arms. This book empowers readers with true stories, inspiring insights and practical tools to help turn their own negative experiences into positive opportunities. This autobiographical self-help book is not about theory, but about the real blessings that can be found by anyone in the difficulties they find in day-to-day life. When bad times start to drag you down, Rob's real-world examples will show you how you can still turn your worries into positive action plans, turn your fears into opportunities for hope and help, and turn your life into something better than you ever thought possible. Rob, it's nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Lynn. I'm really pleased with the opportunity to provide some support to your audience.
Yes. Well, there were a number of things in your book that produced a lot of stress in your life and were down times. You want to run over those for us and tell us about the bad times that you had in your life?
Well, I think it's not uncommon for most people to have some challenges. You know, most people have been, for instance, through a divorce, and being remarried with teenage stepdaughters, that was a challenge for me as well. Being self-employed, you know, that permanently being unemployed, I'm always looking for work, and that's certainly stressful as the economy goes up and down. But, you know, some things people haven't experienced was getting shot in the center of my chest. That was an unexpected challenge, but it actually turned out to be one of the best things that ever happened to me because it gave me a great story that's actually the first chapter of my book called It's a Miracle.
Well, what is this about getting shot in the chest? What happened?
Well, I was just walking home from the drugstore just a few blocks from my house here in Houston, Texas, and a car came by kind of slow. The driver got out. I thought he was going to ask directions. Hey, people get lost around here, and then quickly he came over and grabbed me, which I didn't expect, and told me to get in his car, and two other men come out of the car. This is called a stressful moment, and it's just amazing what your mind goes through. You know, I went through, what am I going to say, what he's going to say, what I'm going to say. I thought, I'm going to say, what do you want? He's going to say, give me your wallet. I'm going to give him the wallet, and that's about as far as I got. I said, what do you want? He just smiled and shot me. Shot me with a .38. Which is a pretty good-sized bullet, hit me in the center of my chest.
Well, that's right over your heart. That should have killed you.
It should have gone right through my body, exactly. But it stuck in the sternum, and it grabbed my shirt in such a way that it spun the material and created wadding around the bullet, and I didn't bleed at all. I think it kind of scared the guys because it didn't knock me down, and they turned and ran back to their car, and I turned and went to the first house with the light on. And the guy who opened the door was wearing operating clothes. He was a heart surgeon.
About
this got my attention.
That sounds like a miracle in progress.
It was. And I remember being in the ambulance thinking, wow, this is a great story. Because as a professional speaker, you know, I'm always looking for stories. And your own stories are your best stories. And I think everybody has stories just like that. That when they were in the middle of something, it was terrible, it was bad. But something turned out that wouldn't have turned out if that hadn't happened. The detour, you know, led to that pot of gold. And I think we all have stories like that. But we tend to forget that that's a possibility in the middle of the stressful circumstance.
Well, I had an episode like that 25 years ago, which at the time I would have said, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me that ever could happen to me, but 25 years later, I think it was the best thing.
Well, that's what I've said at the beginning of every chapter. You know, I got shot. It was one of the best things that ever happened to me. I got audited. It was one of the best things that ever happened. My wife threatened to divorce me. It's one of the best things that ever happened to me. Because, you know, I didn't know that at the time. But I've learned to assume that when things are not going the way I want, it's just because I don't know how right now they could turn into something more successful. And so in each of my chapters, I don't just tell this story, a real-life story, but I share the lesson I learned, but also an activity that the reader can go through on their own to save them the time and avoid some of the pain I went to learn that lesson in their own life.
Well, you've tried to, in your career, help people manage stress, and you've told us about some stressful opportunities in your life, and there's a whole list of things that cause stress, but why don't you tell us, in your opinion, what is stress? Different types?
I just know I'm very simple about this. I think stress is resistance to change.
Okay.
So anytime anything isn't going the way we want, we're going to experience some stress. Also, I think every human being is made up of basically two things: lessons they've learned and lessons they have not learned. And our stress is about unlearned lessons. It's just about not knowing how to deal with this particular challenge successfully. Because if we knew how, we wouldn't experience any stress.
Right.
The problem is not knowing how and believing that we can't. That's really the bad part.
Okay. So I think a lot of people would agree that stress is one of the biggest killers of people.
Yes, CDC does.
And so there are different kinds of stress that causes different kinds of deaths, but if...
Well, I would say there's a lot of illnesses that cause death that have a stress component to them.
Okay.
Okay, certainly a lot of things that have to do with the immune system, with the circulatory system, you know, with the muscular system, because whenever you have a stressful thought, a muscle tightens, and that continues to be tight. A lot of times, for years, until it's painful. Like, a lot of us experiencing pain in our body in areas in which there is no injury. Now, stress might be a powerful factor in that. How do we learn to remove the stress from our muscles? We have to first learn how to bring our emotion to some calmness. Emotional intelligence is all about that. But it's really at our thought level where what we imagine, positive or negative, begins to cascade this wave of chemicals through us that produces that fight-or-flight syndrome. And so the goal is how to experience some peace of mind in the middle of the chaos when things are not the way we want them to be.
Deepak Chopra told me some time ago on my program that he thought that most medical illnesses were the result of anger. And, of course, anger produces stress. And
absolutely.
An example would be if you got really mad at somebody and started yelling and screaming and then all of a sudden you had a stroke or a heart attack.
Yeah, your blood pressure goes up. And I think underneath anger is always hurt. We're never angry at anybody that we're not hurt by. And I think underneath hurt is always fear. Fear about not being valued, appreciated, cared for. And then our own self-doubt comes into play. So I have a very special little process called Speed Through Stress in 5 Steps in 15 Seconds that your audience can get for free by just going to drrobspeaks.com and downloading that, plus a 20-minute video about my shooting story and a 50-page workbook on how to breathe and relax and reassure yourself and think positive and look for some humor on a regular basis every time anything is not the way you want it to be. You learn how to practice in the elementary school lessons in life if you're going to be able to be successful when the graduate school lessons come, which they will.
Now, on that website address, drrobspeaks.com, is that D-R or D-O-C-T-O-R?
Well, actually, I've got it both ways, just in case.
Okay.
So D-R-Rob, R-O-B, speaks, S-P-A-K-S.com, and also drrobpennington.com. So there's multiple ways to get to me. But the Speed Through Stress is what I'm really wanting everybody to learn how to do. I think a lot of times people say that somehow it's possible not to have stress. I don't believe that. I think our habits are too powerful. We can't control our initial reaction to anything. But I think we can control our second thought. And in that is the difference between, you know, chaos or peace, between, you know, stress or having some sense of calmness about life. And that's a skill that's learnable.
You were talking about CDC statistics earlier. What are the statistics on?
What I'm remembering is about 60% of illnesses that we die from have a stress component to them.
Okay.
So it's not everything, but it's a major thing. And it's something we can actually do something about.
What do you think about a person who is a, quote, stress seeker, quote? They don't seem to mind stress as much as the rest of us.
I think that's a blessing. If you're not bothered by stress that much, you've probably just learned a certain way of moving through life that doesn't hang you up. I think a lot of people, though, have a habit of worry. They project the negative into the unknown, and they experience what they're afraid of as if it's really happening. You know, one of the things that's interesting, thinking about this as a psychologist, is your body doesn't know the difference between what you vividly imagine and what's actual reality. So if you vividly imagine what you do not want to have happen, you're going to feel what it would feel like if it were happening, even if it's not happening, and even if it never happens.
Well, talking about worry, the Bible tells us that you should be anxious of nothing. And, of course, that has a spiritual basis in that
sure.
You have a relationship with God. God's going to provide for you, and nothing bad is going to happen even if you die. So We worry about 90% of the things we worry about never come to pass, and the other 10%,
that's true.
You know, or maybe not.
Well, those are the 10% that might turn out to be better than we imagine, too. So if you think about worry, it's something, thinking about something I do not want to have happen. And the opposite of that is what I do want to have happen. It's called a goal. So the opposite of every worry is something called a goal that I want. And the problem is our mind doesn't automatically think in terms of goals. It automatically thinks in terms of worries. It's kind of a protective thing, I think. So it's not a bad thing, but what's bad is staying there, not recognizing it as going down a path I do not want to follow, and slipping it. So I have on my website, I have a blog post on turning worries into action plans, you know, to move you towards a goal. Because we need to learn how to do that again in the elementary school lessons of life when we're forced to stop at a stoplight or a grocery store line so that we can learn how when, you know, big things happen, like we lose a relationship or we lose health or we lose our income, that we can imagine moving through that in a successful way.
Well, on
your, do anything you can't imagine.
On your website, drrobspeaks.com, you have a free download, Speed Through Stress in 5 Steps in 15 Seconds. Can you tell us something about those 5 steps?
Yes. They're the opposite of what I think we're all doing automatically anyway. We're all tending to hold our breath, tense our muscles, have self-doubt, think negative, and get serious. Again, anytime anything or anyone isn't the way we want it to be. So I've just taken that and flipped it to its opposite, you know, reinforcing the turning your worry to a goal. And the opposite of that is what I call a stress management response, these 5 steps in 15 seconds, is breathe, relax, reassure yourself, think positive and look for some humor. And learn how to do that quicker and quicker when life forces a detour on you. Again, you can't control your initial reaction, but you can learn to recognize that stress quicker and move through it faster. And that's a very practical thing that most people have never been pointed out that they could do. And I've tried to make it simple and easy. And this workbook actually gives you time to practice each one of these things so that, you know, the first thing you just learn to do is take a deep breath, and that helps you relax on the out-breath. And there in like 2 seconds, you've done 2 of the 5 steps. So it's a process that we can easily learn. It's made a profound difference for people. I've received the highest trainer evaluations from ExxonMobil every year for 33 years because of teaching this program to thousands of people. around the world now. So I have no doubt about its value for anyone, and it can make a profound difference. Just these simple little tools practiced in little ways every day can make profound differences in the big challenges in life.
Is or are the five steps that you just talked about your stress management program, or is there something additional that we should know?
That's the core, but then we go into more tools and techniques like that, turning worries into action plans. You know, each one of those five steps have tools and techniques in them, like, you know, the relax. You know, a lot of people don't know how to do that, so we have a balanced relaxation process. Most people don't know how to turn a negative thought into a positive thought, and we have an actual process for that. So there's just a number of tools and techniques. Some of them I have in that 50-page workbook. You know, we used to do a 5-day training in that to help people learn how to do it better. But there's just a number of resources available. How to develop a habit. You know, just having a good intention that I'm going to do something more positive in my life is not sufficient, or we would all have great habits. So another resource I have on my website, I have some products, I have some audio tapes, and one of them is about developing a positive habit, and one is projecting a positive into the unknown. One's about the martial art of communication, because most of our stresses are not about not having enough money and not enough time. It's about the problems we have in our relationships.
Tell us about what are the major stresses that the common man is going to have in his life. We've already talked about some of them, but just...
Well, that's perfect. I just was saying that, you know, most people think it's not enough time and not enough money. That's what we tend to focus on a lot, and certainly, you know, the biggies involve our health and our career. But I think it's mainly our relationships that eat at us the most. I mean, how many times, as your audience who's listening, I just want to ask you, how many times have you had an argument with someone who was not in the room? You know, we're going through practicing being upset. And I think that's what really hurts us the most. I've been a marriage counselor for 30 years, and the greatest pain I see people experiencing is believing that they're not loved. And so that issue around faith that you were talking about earlier is critical to healing the past and laying a great foundation for the future.
Someone told me once that every man or woman's goal is to have at least one person that will give them unconditional love. What do you think about that?
I think we would like to have at least one, that's true. I think it's challenging, probably limited by how much we're able to give it to ourselves. Because the degree to which I don't believe that I deserve it, I'm not going to believe someone gives it to me. I've seen a lot of circumstances where someone was actually loved way, way more than they experienced being loved. And a lot of times I think it's just the difference between our definitions of love. We fall in love, one person says, I love you, the other one says, I love you, and we think we are agreeing to the same thing, and we aren't necessarily. There's another thing on, I have a blog, you know, about the difference between requirements and preferences. You know, you don't go to war over preferences. So if you go and select the blog and search on preferences, you'll see another video and a blog on that, because I think that's the major source for most people's stress.
I'll ask you a question because I'm not sure that I have the answer. In relationships with a person of the opposite sex, is there a difference between loving them and being in love with them?
I think there is. I think in love is probably much more of a chemical experience, and loving them is much more of a choice. And hopefully you have both.
Okay.
So a lot of times we fall in love because there's a lot of things we're seeing in the other person that fit our ideal image. And when two people are having that click off, you know, it's a magical time. But the reality is each of us have those unlearned lessons. So when you fall in love with somebody, when you marry someone, when you commit to them, you're committing to being with their unlearned lessons. And a lot of us have no awareness of that. And when we run into their unlearned lessons, we assume that if they loved us, they would not be that way. And therefore, then we end up feeling unloved, and the whole magical in love chemical thing that usually lasts for 3 or 4 months fades away. then the real choice to love someone, to mean to be with them without needing them to be any different than they are, and that's what unconditional means, can only be done if you have some key requirements met. But don't have anything to do with loving anybody. It has to do with, I'm not going to be in a relationship unless a couple of things are met. For instance, monogamy might be one. And once you've got your requirements met, then everything else is, by definition, not required. You might like it, but it's just a preference, and you don't go to war for preferences.
I wrote a book last year called Intimate Connections, How to Find or Experience Real Intimacy with Anyone Anywhere in the World in Less than 4 Hours. And the reason that I wrote that is because our marriage statistics are so bad that people who have been married for 20 or 30 years still don't know some things about their partner. And if we could find out all those things up front before we met them the first time, we could exclude all the people that we're not going to be able to have a happy relationship with.
And you know, there's a wonderful little 17-minute movie about that on iTunes called Full Disclosure. And it's just, I'd highly recommend it. It's called Full Disclosure. This guy gets married, and about a year into the marriage, I mean, he's a March Madness NCAA fanatic. He doesn't leave the TV during that month. And his wife just found that absolutely unacceptable. It was a requirement of hers that he not do that. Well, he wasn't going to give it up. She left. And he was like, wait, I wasted a year here. Why didn't we know that going in? And so the movie's about his policy of saying up front all the things that are maybe deal breakers. And it's a wonderful movie, and I like that. I think that, you know, your book's a great one. It's needed. We need to, in the moment when the green light goes on and we fall in love, we need to be also aware that there are these other issues that we need to be responsible to address.
If you would like, and it's something that you think would be beneficial to you, you can go to Amazon and read the reviews on the book. It's Intimate Connections.
Tell me the name again.
Intimate Connections.
Intimate Connections.
And you'll need to put my name there, Wynn Henderson, because there's another book on there by the same title.
Okay.
But so...
I encourage everybody to go check it out.
Yeah. So, relationships are a major stressor, and drama in daily life in relationships stresses people extraordinarily. So, do you have some...
Work and at home.
Yeah, well, do you have some relationship tips that you could give our audience?
Listen more than you talk. It's real important, I think, to be able to empty someone of their ideas before you try to put yours in. That there's a difference between you having an understanding and the other person experiencing being understood. And on that DrRobSpeaks.com, it goes to my keynote speaking page. Down towards the bottom of that page is a 3-minute video on a demonstration I do about how to empty someone of their ideas with some questions. 3 questions to eliminate conflict. We just got this hair trigger in us as soon as we run into a disagreement that we make it worse. We respond in a way that creates defensiveness in the other person. And I've destroyed relationships because of that. And it's been a painful thing to learn. As soon as I run into a disagreement, I make an assumption that there's some misunderstanding and I might be the one who misunderstood. And so I want to empty that person of their point of view on 5 levels, 5 levels of communication. What are the facts, the thoughts, the opinions, the emotions, the value? I want to get it all out, and I want to make sure they experience being understood. And I'm going to agree as much as I can. I've got 6 stages in reaching an agreement. If they go to resource-i.com/communications.html, resource-i.com/communications.html, all my communication models are there. And I'll go ahead and add a link to the Dr. Rob Speaks. To make that transition better, because those models really make a difference in my life and help me, you know, turn a difficult relationship into a 30-year wonderful one. Even though my wife ended up passing away, as you were describing, we ended up having more love than we ever did.
Rob, this program is called Share Your Mission. It's the oldest spiritually based radio interview talk show in the world. We've been doing this for over 16 years, and I'd just like to ask you, what is your mission?
I think it's simply, you know, to help people practically love themselves and love others.
Great.
Work or no.
Great mission. Okay, the book's called Find the Upside of the Downtimes. You can go to Dr. Rob's website or Amazon.com, I assume.
Yes.
Okay, so, Rob, it's been really nice talking with you today. We're out of time, but for all those people who have stress, which is practically everybody, get his book and see what Dr. Rob has to say.
Thank you so much.